Tehran's French President Emmanuel Macron's comments following his meeting with U.S.-based anti-Iran activists are regrettable and shameful. The Russian foreign ministry says the U.S. and NATO are militarizing Southeast Asia as part of efforts to contain Moscow and Beijing. The head of the International Monetary Fund raises the possibility of a second Cold War, a result of rivalry between China and the U.S. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Now, top story this hour, French President Emmanuel Macron's recent meeting with anti-Iran activists is drawing a strong reaction from Tehran. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says that the meeting was a flagrant violation of France's international responsibilities in the fight against terrorism and violence. He dismissed his praise for an anti-Iran activist as regrettable and shameful. Kanani said it's surprising that a president of a country that advocates freedom degrades himself by meeting a dissident to strive to spread hatred and perform violent and terrorist acts both inside Iran and against its diplomatic missions abroad. On Friday, Macron met with four notorious anti-Iran women activists, among them Masih Alinejad, who has for years led an anti-Iran campaign from the United States. Now, a short while ago, we were joined by activist and political analyst Sarbaz Ruhollah Rezvi, and he says that the French president's recent meeting with anti-Iran campaigners is part of the maximum pressure drive against Iran.
And the recent, stand in meeting with Masih Alinejad, the notorious, as it was mentioned, activist against the Iranian nation, is not something strange and new. We should not forget that Masih Alinejad's campaign during all years was to bring violence in the Iranian streets. And she followed that campaign even during last couple of months in a very intense way to encourage more people for violence in the streets. She was the one who encouraged by his social media platforms. He brought those who were openly calling for violence, openly calling for attacking the Iranian security forces. As you know, it resulted in tens of Iranian security forces being killed during the riots that took place. Of course, some civilians also lost their lives. But the number of the, security forces that were, killed during the recent unrest and riots inside Iran was something really shocking if you compare it to any other part of the world. So her stance against Iran, against Iranian people, against Iranian nation is really clear. And of course, the stand of the, French, president inviting her, hosting her, and meeting her is not strange, because if we look back to the, hostile policies of, unfortunately, France against the Iranian people, we find completely understandable what they are doing. They are trying to make use of their, maximum pressure campaign on Iran in all fields and all, platforms to push Iran, of course, back from its, policies, of course, its regional policies as well.
Now, Iran continues with legal action against those involved in recent riots, with the judiciary charging more than 750 people in three provinces. The cases were filed in the southern province of Hormuzgan and the central province of Markazi and Isfahan. Those detained face charges including incitement to killing, harming security forces, spreading propaganda against the government, and damaging public property. They will be tried in the presence of their lawyers. More than 2,000 people already charged, nearly half of them in the capital, Tehran. Protests erupted in several cities in September after a young woman collapsed at a police station and died in the hospital days later. The protests were initially peaceful but soon turned into riots and vandalism. Iran has blamed provocation from abroad for the violence. Iran's top diplomat has warned the UN Human Rights Council against attempts to organize a special session on the recent riots in Iran. He says if that's going to be the case, Iran's cooperation with the West will be negatively impacted.
Hossein Amir Abdullahian warns of negative consequences if the UNHRC were to go ahead with demands of the West. He criticized the Western double standards when it comes to the issue of human rights. In a phone call with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, he said, "Contrary to the UN Charter, few Western countries exploited the peaceful demands in Iran and encouraged violence and offered tutorials on building weapons and Molotov cocktails on media and social networks, which led to the killing of police and insecurity in Iran." He says that if a session is to be held on the riots in Iran, it should in fact probe into foreign governments' role in encouraging violence and terror and not on the country that is a true defender of human rights. What Amir Abdullahian is referring to is the piling evidence of actual foreign involvement in the riots, perhaps the most compelling of which was revealed through a joint statement by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps and the Ministry of Intelligence. In it, the country's two top intelligence bodies pointed out the major role of foreign intelligence agencies, especially the CIA, in orchestrating the riots. They revealed that they have gone as far as dividing the riots in different stages of pre-unrest, during unrest, and post-unrest. Perhaps the primary way foreign governments, especially the US, UK, and Saudi Arabia, were involved was through supporting foreign Farsi-speaking media that played on people's emotions over a tragic death and capitalized on existing grievances to attempt to overthrow the Islamic establishment through something like a coup d'etat. Iran has warned the UK of consequences for hosting the so-called Iran International Channel, which Iran has recognized as a terrorist organization. Iran also warned Germany for voicing its support for the rioters and calling on the EU to implement more sanctions against Iran.
Human rights has turned into a weapon against countries that are an inconvenience for the West to deal with. Now, implementing sanctions is the other side of that same coin, and together they form the West policy in dealing with non-conforming nations.
Amir Saeed Iravani, Iran's permanent representative to the United Nations, responded to the U.S. cries of women's rights and human rights being violated in Iran and its calls for a special session to, quote, highlight the ongoing repression of women and girls and members of religious and ethnic minority groups by saying this. "The United States lacks the political, moral, and legal qualifications to hold such a meeting, distorting the very basic principles of human rights." He also added, "The U.S. has no true and genuine concern about the human rights situation in Iran or elsewhere." Perhaps he was referring to the role that the U.S. has been playing in destabilizing the West Asia region and carrying out terrorist attacks there. Yemen, Syria, Afghanistan, and Libya, and its unwavering support for Israeli crimes against Palestinians, don't even begin to tell the whole story on U.S.'s destabilizing acts in the region. The U.K.'s involvement in Syria, funding terrorist groups, and being one of the coalition members of the fight against Yemen also nullifies their cries over human rights violations anywhere in the world.
An Iranian lawmaker has criticized the Azerbaijani president for his recent comments about Turkish-speaking Iranians, calling them unrealistic and untrue. Representative of Zanjan province, Alvaro Hosseini, says Ilham Aliyev's claims about Iranian Turks being parted from their historical land was beneath his dignity. He said that the Azeri president should read the Golestan Treaty to get his facts right. According to Hosseini, had it not been for that treaty, Azerbaijan would still be part of Iran. On Friday, Aliyev said the government of Azerbaijan pays special attention to protecting the rights of Azerbaijanis living abroad. He claimed that Baku would continue its efforts so that his compatriots, who have been separated from their ancestral land, would preserve their language and tradition. Under the Golestan Treaty, Iran ceded what is now Dagestan, Eastern Georgia, Republic of Azerbaijan, and parts of Armenia to the Russian Empire in 1813. Now to Syria, where U.S. troops have illegally transferred nearly 100 truckloads of oil and wheat out of the country and into neighboring Iraq. According to Syrian media, more than 70 tanker trucks carrying stolen crude Khwasta into northern Iraq. American forces also smuggled 20 truckloads of Syrian wheat. U.S. forces have been involved in the illegal trade of oil from occupied territories in northeastern Syria for several years. Former U.S. President Donald Trump openly acknowledged on more than one occasion that American troops were in that country for the oil. According to the Syrian Oil Ministry, the U.S. and its proxies stole more than 80% of the nation's daily crude output in the first half of this year. The UN Refugee Agency is warning that millions of people displaced by conflict or persecution globally could face a perilous winter as the temperatures are dropping. In Afghanistan, harsh winter will add to the miseries imposed by economic and humanitarian crises there. Our correspondent reports from Kabul.
Last winter was devastating for many Afghans, especially internally displaced families. Some lost their loved ones, while some were forced to sell their children and body organs to make ends meet. Yet this year, the UN Refugee Agency warns that the coming winter will even be more deadly and challenging for displaced people. According to the UN body, 79% of Afghans do not have adequate access to heating, and 79% households live in shelters that require repair. We are visiting a refugee camp in Kabul, where the people are struggling amid the looming cold season.
People here are facing many challenges. Neither the previous government nor the Islamic Emirate has taken any steps to address them. I know families here who are on the brink of starvation. They can't afford basic needs and struggle to survive. I wonder why the aid organizations are not reaching out to these families.
A woman who fled her house in Helmand during the U.S. war now lives in a cold shack, facing dire conditions. She says she uses plastic and paper wastes for cooking.
Look, I have no clothes, carpet, food, or home necessities. During the day, I have water with dried bread, even though I'm unable to chew. Look, this is my house. Its roof is so weak and perilous. Swear to God I'm suffering so much and facing numerous shortages. I don't know what to do. No one listens to us and no one hears our calls.
Some 3.4 million Afghans are currently internally displaced, with the majority of them living in such temporary shelters. Some of these people say the war forced them to flee their homes, and therefore the United States is responsible to address their needs.
Indeed, the U.S. caused these sufferings and miseries. It's war in Afghanistan that killed and displaced people and widowed thousands of women. As a result, nearly 11,000 families have taken refuge in this camp. Today, it is their responsibility to help ease the lives of the war victims. The global community should help these people with relief aid, shelter, and protection.
Despite worsening humanitarian needs, the funding outlook for life-saving aid programs and assistance remains bleak, according to the UNHCR. People here are expected to have a tough winter. They're worried that they may run out of fuel if the global community fails to address their needs. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
The Russian Foreign Ministry says that the U.S. and NATO are militarizing Southeast Asia to contain the interests of Russia and China in the Asia-Pacific. Sergei Lavrov says that the Western states are trying to master the Southeast Asia region. According to the Russian minister, Washington's Indo-Pacific strategy is meant to bypass the structures for regional cooperation. Lavrov was speaking after attending the summit of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations in Cambodia. He will also head the Russian delegation at the upcoming summit of the G20 countries in Indonesia. U.S. President Joe Biden had told ASEAN leaders that Washington is committed to building an Indo-Pacific that is, quote, free and open. Moscow and Beijing, however, view the U.S. presence in the region as a threat. The head of the International Monetary Fund is warning of risks to the global economy from rivalry between China and the U.S. Kristalina Georgieva has warned of, in her words, sleepwalking into a poorer and less secure world. She also raised the possibility of a second Cold War stressing that the way Washington and Beijing are acting is quite irresponsible. The IMF chief also criticized tariffs imposed on Chinese imports under former U.S. President Trump. Georgieva said that the duties are counterproductive and weren't carefully thought through. The issue of tariffs is just one of the sticking points that have soured the U.S.-China relations in recent years. Other bones of contention include the South China Sea, Taiwan, technology, cybersecurity, Hong Kong, and the origins of the COVID pandemic. And that's a wrap for this news bulletin from Tehran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 13th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us which program or programs you like the best. Tell us your views and attitudes about our programs and our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received many reception reports from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to Atij Kumar from India, Lars Skoland from Sweden, and Anand Mohan from India, who have sent us reception reports. Thank you, Atij, Lars, and Anand. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. For your information, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to have a better service for our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving an electronic QSL card or eQSL card from us. And of course, here we've received many letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails and letters. From India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra, one of our old and regular listeners. Again, from India, we've received an email from Avinash Chikat, one of our regular listeners. From Germany, we've received an email from Alex Choroba. Heike Prunen from Finland, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Austria from Harald Seuss. Welcome back. As I said, Heikki Puranen from Finland has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Dear friends, I had a pleasure of listening to your broadcast on Medium Wave. The reception was quite good. Quite good signal strength. No interference from other stations. Unfortunately, I do not have very good knowledge about the music of your country. I enclose with this reception an MP3 file recorded during the listening. If you're interested, you can verify this reception report to reply this email. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and of course from IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending this email to IRIB English Radio, Heikki Puranen from Finland. It's good to hear that you like the quality of the signal. As you said, the reception was quite good. Quite good signal strength and no interference from other stations. Heikki Puranen from Finland, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast, about our programs? Yes, we will be happy when we know your opinion about the quality of our programs. Which program or programs you like the best? Yes, it's nice. And thank you for the MP3 file. And as you know, we had broadcast many programs about Iranian music and musical instruments, Iranian musical instruments. Maybe you can refer to our website and find the archive of our programs about the Iranian music. For your information, Iranian music has its own enthusiasts around the world. So to find the archive of our programs about Iranian music, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as verification. Wish you all the best. Heikki Puranen from Finland. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Harald Suss from Austria has sent us a message, a piece of email. He says, "Dear staff, please, can you help me about sending the report of my reception? The email address I usually send my reception report is english@parstoday.com. Is this the right email address? Please let me know. Thank you a lot and many greetings from Austria." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Harald Suss from Austria, thank you for sending us this email. You know, our email address is not english@parsley.com. The correct email is englishradio@irib.ir. So, Harald Suss, again, our correct email address is englishradio@irib.ir. Yes, that is. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as confirmation. Thank you for this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Alex Chiroba from Germany has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Dear Madam or Sir at IRIB English Radio, I would like to report a reception of your radio broadcast enclosed. You can find my reception report and an audio record as evidence for my reception. I would be glad very much to receive a QSL card or an EQSL of your station for my collection. Salam and warm greetings to you. Alex Chiroba from Germany, and please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations to you for this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL for verification. Wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And from India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what Pradeep says. Warm greetings from India. few days ago, I could listen to your English program considerably well, which made me want to submit you a reception report. Kindly check the contents of this report with attached audio clips. I would appreciate your QSL verification card in return. With regards and best wishes. Pradeep Chandra from India, salam and warm greetings to you. Thank you for this email. So, you were listening to IRIB English radio program, so it would be better if you told us which program you were listening and about the quality of the program you were listening. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon, Pradeep Chandra from India. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and we wish you all the best. Welcome back. And here we've received another email from India from Avinash Chikat, one of our regular listeners. Avinash says, I am pleased to report the reception of your English language transmissions of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting on shortwave. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or even an EQSL. I'm interested in collecting postage stamps from across the world. It would be great if you can send a few used postage stamps from Iran if you have any. Salam and greetings to you, Avinash Chikat from India. And please accept our appreciations to you for this email. My colleagues, of course, will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. And regarding your request about sending you postage stamps, for your information, in the time of pandemic, sending any material or souvenir, any item on behalf of IRIB English Radio is forbidden. You know, in the time of pandemic, we cannot send our listeners any material, and it is halted temporarily. But after this pandemic is controlled around the world, we again send our dear listeners the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. So, Avinash Chikat from India, we would be very happy to hear your views and attitudes about our programs and broadcast. So, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. We wish you all the best. Avinash Chikat from India. Dear listeners, before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails and letters from around the world, including Ajit Kumar from India, Lars Skolan from Sweden, Anand Mohan from India, Harald Seuss from Austria, Avinash Chikat from India, Heike Prunan from Finland, Alex Choroba from Germany, and Pradeep Chandra from India. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Humanity needs a lot of generous people. It needs people that can give, that can help, that can elevate the status of other human beings. This is what humanity needs. The last thing we need is greedy people. People who want to hoard things for themselves. And you can see that if you flip through magazines and websites and what have you, and you look at the Forbes magazine, for example, and you look at the richest people on earth, and they have billions of dollars in their pockets they're sitting on, it makes you wonder, what would one person will do with all these billions and millions of dollars? He's just one. How much money would one person need? How much money can a person even spend in a lifetime? But yet, greed, it just never stops. It just makes people want to have more and more and more. What's even more devastating is that with these greedy people, is that they create more things that people don't even need to begin with. How many phones do I need? How many cameras do I need? How many cars do I need? How many of these things do we need? If we look around us, there are so many things we don't need. But it was ingrained in our mind that we need these things to make our life easier, to make our life happier, and so on and so forth. So they sell to us. They become more greedy and rich, and we become more poor and needy. That's how the game works. But then again, we say to these people, like, what are you going to do with all these billions of dollars? We need people to share, to give. Now, if you look at all the rich people, one of them, only one, he has enough money to end world hunger. Just one person. But yet, that's not happening, is it? So the systems are failing humanity. The system is killing humanity. The system is destroying a humanity. And sometimes, you know, when we talk about greed and people becoming greedy, it's in levels too. Sometimes you have extremely greedy people, and sometimes you have just a little bit of greedy people. Me and you, we can fall into the greed category if we do not learn to give to other people. The first thing we have to keep in mind when it comes to greed and these mental vices and these moral vices is the fact that we need to start thinking correctly. Because when thinking goes out of the way, everything goes with it. Sometimes we deem these greedy people who have billions and millions of dollars, we deem them to be smart and hardworking. Yeah, they might be hardworking, yes. They might be smart in the field that they are in. But in fact, they are the dumbest people on earth. They are the dumbest human beings that walked on this earth. Because that wealth that they have, it will not do them a single deed and a good in the day of Akhir, in the hereafter, which they will go to 100%. Before I continue, let us take a short break. We come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. We were saying that the people who are rich, who have a lot of money, billions and millions of dollars, they are actually the dumbest human beings ever lived. Because the smart human, the smart person, is the one that thinks of the end, not now. How would you be after you die? Where would you be after you die? The one that thinks about that and works for it is a smart human being. A man who died, he left a pile, a mountain of dates after he died. And what he did, he said, when I die, please give this as sadaqah charity on my behalf. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and they said to him, this person left so much dates to be given to the poor. And the Prophet said, this man is obviously not smart enough. Because if he gave one single date when he was alive, it would have been much better for him than all of this date given after his death. So a person needs to think of his akhirah, not his dunya. Allah says in the Quran, and this is for the smart people, not for the dumb people. Okay, because dumb people, obviously, they will never get this. He says, "A'lamu innama al-hayatu ad-dunya la'abun wa lahu." Know for sure, for a fact, that this world indeed is for fun and entertainment and vain. Wazina, beauty, wa tafakhurun baynakum, boasting between yourselves, wa takathurun fil amali wal awlad, trying to have as much wealth and much children. And Allah says, kamathal zar'in, and he gives examples like that of a farm that is green and fruitful. And then all of a sudden, a wind comes to it and leaves it nothing. It takes everything from the roots. And then a person loses everything. That's the same thing with us. We work so hard. We make so much money. We become greedy. We do not give. We don't share. We don't think of other fellow human beings. And when death comes, we leave it all behind. We take nothing. Allah says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The true living, the real living, is in the hereafter. But do we contemplate about that? Do we think about that? Most of the times we don't. We said, no, I want to have the most. I want to have the best. I want to keep to myself. I don't care about people. It's not my business. I don't like to give. But then Allah says, okay, by all means, in the hereafter, don't ask for much. because we gave you everything here and you did not share it, even though we wanted you to share. That's the test of life. Everyone has to go through that test. And Allah says to the people who think, to the smart people, to the smart human beings, He says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. What Allah has, what He in store for you, is even better and more and everlasting. What you have is never, it's not everlasting. Allah gives you now. He gives you many, dollars. You can have millions and zillions and billions. But what it last? Can He take any of it with you? No, you can't. But you can take it with you under the condition that you give to other people, that you don't keep hoarding it, that you don't keep storing it, that you don't keep becoming greedy about it. No, you give it to other people. You help other fellow human beings. This is the notion. If human beings apply, this world would be a better place. Instead of just keeping and becoming greedy, we can help other fellow human beings. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
And the U.S. Democrat Mark Kelly of Arizona held on to his U.S. Senate seat, defeating Blake Masters, who was backed by former President Donald Trump in the key swing state. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of ABC News has covered this story. Senator Mark Kelly is projected to win re-election, securing a full six-year term to the Senate after pitching himself as an independent-minded candidate with bipartisan success and casting his opponent, Republican Blake Masters, backed by former President Donald Trump, as too extreme for Arizona. Democrats are closer to maintaining their slim majority in the U.S. Senate since the junior senator held his seat. Thank you to the people of Arizona for re-electing me to the United States Senate, Mark Kelly said in a release on Friday, 11th of November 2022, after a large drop of votes from Maricopa County in his favor. From day one, this campaign has been about the many Arizonans, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans who believe in working together to tackle the significant challenges we face. That's exactly what I've done in my first 2 years in office and what I will continue to do for as long as I'm there. Mark Kelly, a former NASA astronaut and Navy combat pilot who is married to former Representative Gabby Giffords, ran a well-funded campaign with nearly $80 million fundraised to Blake Masters' $12 million. In a tranche of television advertisements, Kelly told Arizonans he'd focused on job creation, protecting abortion rights and securing the southern border with Mexico, supporting barriers on the southern border when appropriate. He said he stands up to President Joe Biden and Democrats when they're wrong. Blake Masters, a 36-year-old venture capitalist from Tucson, Arizona, backed by Donald Trump and technology billionaire Peter Thiel, went after Mark Kelly on loyalty to Biden. record-high border crossings, fentanyl deaths, and inflation. Mark Kelly, meanwhile, used Blake Masters' words from the primary trail against him, arguing he would support a federal abortion ban, privatizing Social Security, and spread baseless doubts about American elections, since he has alleged, without evidence, that the 2020 presidential election was corrupt. Mark Kelly also argued that Blake Masters would be beholden to Donald Trump, who Arizonans rejected in 2020, although by the slimmest of margins. In the final days of Kelly's campaign, he included in his stump speech a mention of a phone call that Donald Trump made to Blake Masters after their Senate debate, when Trump told him he should have gone harder on the rigged election conspiracy theory. With Trump's endorsement in June, Blake Masters had beat out five other Republican candidates in the August primary, but after swinging far right to stand out in the bunch, he faced criticism for an apparent pivot, including scrubbing his website to soften stances on key issues. Masters told supporters on Thursday that he would come back and win, but seemed disappointed with vote drops as early as election night, seeing as he didn't take the stage before supporters once. Arizonans ultimately stuck to the incumbent, Mark Kelly. No matter how the rest of the results shake out, our government will remain closely divided with a lot more to do. That can feel daunting, but that's democracy, Kelly said on Tuesday at a watch party in Tucson, Arizona. He added, "The way to solve these problems isn't by pointing fingers and dividing people, it's by listening and finding common ground." The website of CNBC has more for us. Democratic Senator Mark Kelly will hold on to his U.S. Senate seat in Arizona, pushing Democrats closer to retaining control of the Senate, NBC News has projected. Mark Kelly was leading Republican candidate Blake Masters, who was former President Donald Trump's pick in the key swing state, by almost 6 percentage points, with 85% of the votes in as of Friday night, 11th of November. With Kelly's win, Democrats need just one of the two seats in Nevada or Georgia that haven't been called yet. In Nevada, Republican candidate Adam Laxalt was ahead by 1 percentage point with 88% of the votes counted as of Friday morning. Georgia's Senate race is headed to a runoff election on 6th of December between Republican candidate Herschel Walker and incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock, who was leading by more than a percentage point. Kelly raised and spent vastly more than venture capitalist Masters, bringing in over $81 million and spending over $75.9 million through to mid-October. Blake Masters, by comparison, raised $12.3 million and spent just $9.7 million over the same time frame, according to data by the Federal Election Commission. The Arizona Democrat campaigned on a platform of bipartisanship and promoted his willingness to work across the aisle with Republicans. He was elected to the Senate in 2020 to finish the term of Republican Senator John McCain, who died of brain cancer. Kelly recently distanced his stance on immigration from the Biden administration when he came out against the decision to end Title 42. The policy, which began during the Trump administration, prevented migrants from entering the country due to the COVID pandemic. The Arizona Democrat has also pushed hard for border security. He recently referred to the influx of migrants at the southern border with Mexico as a mess during a debate. When President Biden decided he was going to do something dumb on this and change the rules that would create a bigger crisis, I told him he was wrong. So I pushed back on this administration multiple times, Kelly said back in October. But Kelly was also a chief negotiator in the CHIPS and Science Act, a key component of President Biden's economic policies that was signed into law back in August. A former NASA astronaut and Navy pilot, Mark Kelly is married to former U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, who survived a gunshot wound to the head in 2011. The website of TheHill.com has also covered this story. Senator Mark Kelly is projected to win re-election to the Senate, defeating Republican Blake Masters in one of the preeminent battleground contests on the midterm map this year and putting Democrats one step closer to securing their majority. Mark Kelly is completing the final 2 years of the late Senator John McCain's term. Held a steady lead over Blake Masters, a protege of PayPal founder Peter Thiel, since the early August primary, though his lead slimmed in the final weeks of the campaign. His ultimate victory is a key hold for Democrats as they await the result of Senate races in Nevada, which is undergoing a similar drawn-out counting process, and also in Georgia, which has gone to a December 6 runoff. It also marks a defeat of one of the most closely watched candidates elevated by former President Donald Trump.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the vigilance of the soul, being careful about one's soul, careful that it doesn't, you know, commit a sin, watching over it, and protecting it from the act of committing a sin. In this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The scriptures of Prophet Abraham contain the following: the rational man, as long as he is of sound reason, must put aside several hours during the day, an hour for conversing with his Lord, an hour for self-scrutiny and accounting for himself, an hour to ponder over Allah's favors bestowed upon him, and an hour to spend on his own lawful pleasures." So in this hadith, the Prophet said that a person should divide his day into a number of different parts, a number of different hours. And those hours are the following. He should spend an hour talking to God, to speaking to God. Of course, this doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you should like actually speak, you know, it could be like, doesn't mean that you actually pick up a book of dua and, you know, recite it. It could mean just, you know, sit down and talk to God, think about him, speak to him, even if it's in your heart or your mind. The second is an hour for self-scrutiny. Anyone should sit down, think about what one has done during the day or even in one's life, and take one's self to account for it. Think about and, you know, scold oneself if one has, you know, committed, you know, a sin or whatever. And then an hour one should spend thinking about Allah's favors that, you know, he has bestowed upon him. This is also important for a person to do. And then a person should spend an hour on his own lawful pleasures, you know, spending time with one's family, doing something that one likes, one enjoys. The Prophet in the end of the hadith is interesting. He alluded to the reason why one should actually spend an hour for himself. The Prophet said, "For this one hour will be an aid to him in fulfilling his other hours." Right? Meaning this will help him in his fulfillment of his religious responsibilities, as well as a time to recuperate and relax. Those other hours, sometimes they can be very burdensome and tiring, you know. It can be spiritually and even physically, it can, you know, take a toll on a person, on his health, his mental health, as well as physical health. You know, it's important to therefore relax and recuperate. And the way to do so is to, you know, spend time, you know, on oneself and be happy. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the enjoyment of self-scrutiny in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Doing a song from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.